Tough to complain too much, like you said, where you quit your job and move to France and have a 2.0 or something, right?
Welcome to another episode of the Rogue Startups Podcast with Craig Hewitt and Dave Rodenbaugh. This is a podcast documenting the journey of self-funded business founders and sharing lessons, tips, and tricks for businesses following the same path as ours. The journey is long and winding, but we're glad you're joining us for it. And now it's time to go rogue with Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome to episode 76 of the Rogue Startups Podcast. This week, Dave and I are going to be talking through kind of our performance and 2016 and looking ahead a bit to 2017. So this is the obligatory goals and reviews episode. So Dave, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well. I had a fantastic holiday, fighting a little bit of a flu right now, but still moderately functional at the moment, thankfully. You know, coming down from the post-holiday high and in that weird week between Christmas and New Year's where most people are like, what should I be doing? And I'm like scrambling to get stuff done with Recapture here to try to understand customers and stuff like that, asking tons of questions. So how about you, man?
That's great. Yeah, it's been a good couple of days. You know, here we're in the States for almost 2 weeks, and so we're actually heading back tomorrow. We're recording on Wednesday, so yeah, it's been a good time here. It's been a bit of kind of culture shock being back in the U.S. and seeing some of the things that are really different than are in France, especially we got to Disney and it's just like 8 million people everywhere and just like this is fucking crazy, but I think it's crazy for everybody. So it's been good time here, and yeah, the same for us with business. Some people are looking to launch new podcasts in January, so we've been working with them for the last few weeks, and this is really the time to get stuff going. But other than that, it's been pretty quiet, which has been nice, taking some time with the family. So
Nice. So you're getting showing the kids what a big gulp is back here, since they're getting all those normalized portions back in France and not understanding what it is to have excessively large foods portions.
Yep. That's pretty much it. Yeah. It's well, it's funny. Yeah. I won't get into it too much, but it's a little bit of that kind of every day. Yeah.
Yeah. Twinkies and big gulps for breakfast, kids.
That's it, man. And come Friday, it'll be hell on wheels for them again. So that's all right. That's all right.
Yeah, it's Escargot and Roquefort on Friday, so you better get it while you can.
Yep. So last year we called this episode Setting the Bar Higher, Big, Hairy, Audacious Goals for 2016. So I thought it'd be fun to sort of jump in and grade ourselves, I guess, on how we did in 2016 versus kind of the goals that we set out for ourselves.
Is there a scale below F? I just want to know. I want to know how low I can actually go on some of my goals here.
You got it. You got to have accomplished one of them, right?
I have. It's not quite that bad, but some of them, the level of fail is so bad, like A through F just doesn't capture it.
Yep. I resemble that. Yep. Mm-hmm. Cool. So you want to kick it off with some of your goals from last year?
Yeah. So, well, let's kick off my number one goal. My biggest and most audacious goal for sure was to buy a business that got me out of the consulting game for good. And I was looking for something in the half to 1 million range. Up until the end of November, this was looking like a pretty crappy goal. It was looking pretty bad. And then I closed on Recapture on December 6th. So it didn't get me out of the consulting game, but now I've got something that I can grow to get out of the consulting game. So if I were to grade myself on this one, I'd probably give myself a solid B. Didn't exactly get what I wanted, but I got something with strong enough chops that I think I can make it happen in the next 18 to 24 months, roughly, let's say. So I think that one was okay. How about you? What's your first one?
Yeah, no, and just a bit of comment on that. I think that you definitely got the best opportunity that either of us have seen in the last year to get into something that has a lot of opportunity to growth. So I would give yourself a B+ at least, maybe, for a really solid acquisition, even if it's not getting you out of consulting.
All right. I'll take that B+.
B+. So yeah, I think my biggest goal for 2016 was to quit the day job, and obviously did that, and did it with Podcast Motor, having good revenue goals. So we, up until this month, up until December, we grew every month, which I think is great. And, overall, really happy with how the business has grown. We're doing some things here in 2017 that will kind of change the makeup of the business, and I'll talk about that later maybe. But yeah, I have to be pretty happy with the whole transition out of the day job, deciding to move and kind of relocate the family and everything. So give myself a pass, I guess. I don't want to give myself A, B, or C, but it's definitely worked out pretty well.
Oh, I'm going to give you A+ on this one, because not only are you out, but now you're location independent, you're in a really cool place, your kids are experiencing something that is going to have a lifetime positive impact on them. I mean, yeah, I think you're not really giving yourself enough credit there. A+, dude, A+ on that one.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, so I think the goal that I felt the best about is my next one here, which was to run Big Snow Tiny Conf West successfully. Mm. And that one I did way back in February. So I felt like that went off very well. It didn't really have any logistics issues. There were some minor quibbles about like the directions I gave people to get there. That kind of wasn't great. But literally, that was the biggest issue I think everybody had with it. There was lots of positive feedback. I put it all up on the Big Snow Tiny Conf West site. I solicited that immediately after the conference, so I got all this great testimonials on this, which helped attract people for this year, and I sold it out this year. So I feel like all of that went like stunningly well.
That's awesome. And it going so well had to really set you up well for the event this year, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, I'm totally stoked for that one. You know, like I said, it's already sold out, and we're going to have catered dinners this year, and there's a good chunk, probably like 40%, that are attending again. Some people that weren't able to make it again this year were more logistical roadblocks that stopped them from showing up, as opposed to, I just don't want to come back to your conference. Like one guy is actually, you know, having chemotherapy right now. And I'm like, oh yeah, you totally get a pass, dude.
Right.
Yeah. You're okay. You're good. So yeah, I thought that one turned out really, really well and set me up for additional success this year. And obviously, you know, with you and I talking on the podcast here, it even inspired you to do Big Snow Tiny Conf Europe, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really been an interesting experience. Not having, I'm gonna say, an audience, but not knowing a lot of people over there. It's been an interesting experience for me organizing it. But we're excited, and snow is coming, so it should be a nice time. All right, so that sounds like an A for you, huh?
I'll give that one a good A. Sure.
Nice. My next one is definitely not an A. It is to increase the revenue from our two content travel sites to $5,000 a month, which was more than doubling them. And they've been pretty much static. So I haven't talked about it too much on the show, but we moved them from, they were previously on like a 6-year-old version of Drupal, to WordPress this year, and it took a long time and a lot of headache and unfortunately a lot of money, but now the sites are making about what they did before in terms of profit. We're saving quite a bit of money on hosting, because the hosting platform they were on before was very expensive, but unfortunately the ad revenue is down a little bit just because we haven't been able to optimize the sites quite as good as they were before. So have spent a fair bit of time on these and am not seeing like a huge return. So I'll give myself a C probably for I'll say, not really doing anything with the sites and spending a fair amount of time and money. They're not, I'll say, any further ahead now than they were at the beginning of the year, which is a little disappointing. Looking forward to next year, have some things that I'm looking to do to change that, but this year was kind of beating my head against the wall a little bit.
So would you say that your growth on that was less than expected because of all the hassles, or do you still feel like you have the same growth potential that you did before?
Yeah, there's definitely the potential, but I think that so much of my time, especially in the first two-thirds of the year, was spent sort of migrating the sites and getting them set up and optimizing them again, and then not having time or energy to grow them. So now they're pretty well set, and now it's time to think strategically and about content and growth. But it's taken a lot of time and money. I would say anyone who's looking to purchase assets that need kind of major structural improvements should really make sure they understand it. That was my big lesson with this, is one, moving off of a CMS to another one was complicated, but two, there was some really custom stuff in there that I didn't understand until we'd already kind of spent the time and money to move the sites, that probably would have been better off kind of staying where we were. So,
but in the end, now you're over on WordPress, right?
Yeah, so now we're on WordPress and can, you know, I can make the sites do anything I want, really. But before, it was Drupal is very difficult to work with, for me at least. You know, it was old Drupal too.
Right. I have no experience with Drupal specifically, but given where you're at with WordPress, I think it's, you know, if you were to sell them, I think that actually is an improved selling point, since WordPress is a more common and probably easier to administrate CMS at this point. So yep. In the end, it was probably okay. You had to endure some suck for that. So, all right, that's good. That's good.
Yep.
So that just shows that passive assets are not necessarily all that passive.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Yeah, lesson learned there. All right. My next goal was trying to find some plugin opportunities that were going to fit within Business Directory and AWPCP. Originally, I was looking at a service called WP Remote, which was basically an automated plugin update service. And as it turned out, that was not the most awesome strategy. So it didn't really pan out. I dug into that. I tried to negotiate with the guys at WP Remote. They had a pretty high price that I couldn't meet, and I didn't think really represented the opportunity there. So I went ahead and passed on it, and I didn't really find – I looked at some other plugins, which I'm having trouble recalling at the moment, but I did look at like two or three things, including some Shopify stuff and other things, and just nothing was an obvious market fit with what I had that allowed me to use my existing audience to promote that. So I'm going to – yeah, that's a solid F on that goal right there. That never really panned out.
Yeah. I mean, it's fair. Your priority shifted to what ended up being Recapture. So I think that was a smart fail.
Well, in the end, it was. And there was another goal that I had about growing that CRM plugin that I had acquired last year for free. Well, it turned out that, you know, I was supposed to cross-promote that to the two lists and build it to $3,000 a month. But I ended up abandoning it back in March for the same reason, because I was really trying to focus on a SaaS instead. So, you know, there's another related goal that just got dropped. But it was really not so much I failed to meet this as my priorities changed, and it just wasn't something that was as important as something else. So,
yeah. My next one was something that, it was not a huge success, but it's actually carrying over to 2017 was to build and launch a podcasting course, and I had a revenue goal associated with it. We did build and launch a podcasting course, and the revenue was bad. It wasn't good. And then that's a bit of marketing fail on my part, and a bit of, I don't say product market fit, I guess, not listening to and knowing what my customers need. You look at the podcasting education product market is really big, and there's some people doing really big money in it. You know, John Lee Dumas and a couple other guys that are doing big money every month. five figures a month with it. And so the money is definitely there. And I think that the place I missed this one is, it's amazing. It's a learning experience for me to learn how to market products. And that's my big thing with 2017. But Podcast Motor as a service has really kind of sold itself to a fair extent. And so learning how to sell our WordPress plugins or our course has been something I've not done very good. So I'll give myself probably a C on this as well. We put a fair amount of time into building this and launching it and made a little bit of money, but nothing like I know we could. And so definitely carrying this over to next year to work on building marketing and email funnels around these products. So our Podcast Motor player, our WordPress theme, things associated with Seriously Simple Podcasting now, and then our podcast course are things that I want to be kind of frontline for the Podcast Motor brand. The service is getting ahead of myself a little bit, but is kind of selling itself, and we're continuing to grow really organically, but the effort I have to put into the business is around our products. So another C for me, unfortunately.
Well, our GPAs are not looking good here.
Yeah. Tough to complain too much, like you said, where you quit your job and move to France and have a 2.0 or something, right?
Yeah, I think we're not going to give these goals equal weight on all of them here for sure, right?
Yeah.
So my next goal was to grow the plugins by a double-digit amount. And this goal I get a definite solid F on because I actually didn't end up having even barely a single digit of growth on this. It was not so good overall for the year. But again, when your priorities shift and you're not really necessarily looking for good opportunities in the last 6 months of the year, that really sort of is going to shift that goal into the waiting queue as opposed to the active queue. I know for the first 6 months out of the year, I was really trying to drive it pretty hard through audience ops and trying to find other places that I could promote it. But none of those really moved the needle pretty much like I had found last year. So in many ways, I'm glad that this is not my primary focus anymore and that I can move on to recapture as the medium for growth, because this was definitely a frustrating one for me for a second year in a row here. So I'm going to have to go for a D minus on this one myself.
Nice. Yeah. Sounds like your opportunities are definitely much bigger and better now with recapture. But I have to commend you for, it seems like you really optimized the plugins to get as much as you could out of them. So I think that's great. I mean, talking about marketing and learning how to run the business, I think you're running that business really well.
Thank you. And I hope that continues to move forward here into 2017. I guess we'll see.
Did you have any other goals for 2016 that you wanted to review?
I had a couple of other ones that were related to the plugins about releasing some new modules and trying to turn over support by the end of Q1 in 2016. And I did have a full standard operating procedure for that written up, ready to go, tried to hire somebody for it. In the end, by like August, I had given up on that whole hope there, trying to get somebody who was going to take that over just because of the hassles with hiring somebody and trying to train them, having gone through several people. So in the end, I would say that I worked pretty hard on that goal and made a lot of progress toward it, but in the end did not get, obviously, support turned over or the right person hired for that job, and changed the model a little bit so that I've got one of my guys working full-time on support and the other guy full-time in development. And that model, I think, has worked better. So I'll call this one a shift of priorities here, and we'll give myself a C on it.
What is it in college when you decide to take a class as like pass fail instead of getting a test a grade on it? Auditing. That's what you're auditing some of your goals now. Cool. So did you want to kind of roll into the goals for 2017 then?
Yeah, let's chat about that. So 2016, you know, a lot of people are saying 2016 sucked and all these celebrities died and you know, we have a sociopath for a president now and all of that good stuff. And I for one, I'm definitely ready for 2017. So for me, my priorities in 2017 really focus solely around recapture, unsurprisingly. The plugins right now are definitely going to take second fiddle while I am trying to get my legs under me on that. And I might end up doing something with them later in the year, but at least for Q1 and Q2, my initial focus is pretty much all recapture. So first, and certainly the one I've been working on the most right now between Christmas and New Year's here, is just simply trying to understand my customers. So I've been like digging out all of their data out of Stripe to figure out who's paying what and who are they and what are their sites. And I've got a VA that's going out and scraping a bunch of Magento freelancer portfolios on LinkedIn to get me a bunch of stores to contact. And then I'm going to find out from the stores that I have and the ones that are doing well, what are stores that are like them? And then I'm going to go after them aggressively with some email campaigns to try to sign them up as new customers. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that sort of goes around that. I got to make sure my onboarding process is good. I've got to create customer personas. I'm trying to contact previous customers to find out why they left. I'm not getting a lot of traction on that so far, but I've probably only tried like 10. So that's not a lot. And then there's some stuff that was already developed that I need to actually release. So that stuff I've got in the queue as well. Part of it I need to promote. Part of it I need to finish. But, you know, I think that's going to keep me busy here for certainly the first 6 months, no problem. I've got a long list of various things that need to happen, including like converting. The whole site for Recapture is actually built up in Node.js. Like, there's no WordPress component to it at all. And when I first found out about that, I was actually a little twitchy. I'm like, what? And then I realized that these guys just build their whole sites custom, and that's what they're really good at, and that's what they really know. And, you know, when what you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right?
Right, right.
And so they built it, and they did a fantastic job with it. But there's a lot of stuff that if you're trying to add in various other functionality, like you've got to do it page by page, or you've got to add it in by hand. And, you know, I can certainly do that, and I have the technical acumen to do so. But, like, I went in and I was trying to muck with the pricing page, and I spent, like, I'm embarrassed to say this because my CSS is just so bad, but I spent, like, 3 hours trying to get, like, a tooltip to fucking work on the damn pricing page. It still isn't working, and I don't know why. And I'm like, I'm sort of baffled at the simplicity of solutions that I found, and the fact that I cannot shove them in there because of some complicated CSS rules. And anybody who's worked with CSS for any length of time will probably appreciate that statement. But my lack of experience with CSS in the last 5 to 7 years certainly is showing right now when I can't, you know, make the site look as nice as what these guys had already made it look like. So I've got my work cut out ahead of me. I'll probably end up hiring a developer to take care of some of those things. But, you know, migrating to WordPress is definitely one of my big goals for 2017 as well, so that I can get the marketing site separate from the application. And then I can actually have, for example, Audience Ops come in and put content on my site. And yeah. But they can't do that right now. Like, there's no way they're going to be logging into my Bitbucket repository and making changes in there. And there's no way that I'm taking articles from them and formatting them in HTML on that damn site either. So that is definitely a lose-lose proposition for me right now. I've got some work ahead of me there.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do they have an active blog?
They don't.
Mm.
They don't. That's... So that's another thing I can do to, you know, improve things, and that's definitely on my list. Add content, you know, have an autoresponder. Like, they don't have an email autoresponder on the site. So when somebody goes by the site, there's nothing to stop and capture them so you can follow up. It's like, wow. That's like SaaS 101, right?
Yeah, that's great. That's great for you.
But yeah, it's good. It's awesome. It's just stuff I need to get on. So there's another thing I have to do, right? I got to write the email autoresponder sequence for that, or hire somebody to do that email autoresponder sequence. And I've got tons of ideas, things that I've pulled from other e-commerce sites, and I'm looking at everybody's e-commerce feeds right now, guys that are on Shopify, guys that are on WooCommerce, and just sort of finding out what are people interested in, what kind of content are they providing to their customers. So, you know, now that I have a list of what these things look like, I'm going to contact my folks and say, so I'm thinking about adding these things. What do you think of these? Do these sound interesting to you? If they don't, what would you like to see? That kind of stuff. But I wanted to have something to present first, not just go, hey, what do you want to see on a blog? I don't know, content about e-commerce, you know.
Right, right.
So they're not going to know, but if you give them something to work with, you can probably get a better answer out of them. So I
just read in the last week The Invisible Selling Machine, Ryan Dice from Digital Marketer. I don't know if you follow the Digital Marketer stuff, but I would highly recommend it to anybody who's looking to build out kind of purpose-driven content. So, you know, content to get leads and convert them through a marketing funnel. It's a really good framework for the whole thing, A to Z. It doesn't get into a lot of detail on any one part, but I think all of us kind of have the places we go for, you know, email copy and how to set up drip and all that kind of stuff. But it's a really good resource, and it's a short book. It's like 150 pages.
Cool. Cool.
So, yeah. Cool. So my, you know, my first goal is around Podcast Motor is to increase the revenue by about 30% and have half of our revenue come from product sales. I don't want to say we're going to kind of break the business, but there's a definite shift in the priority of where we're growing this year. I think the core of what we do is solid and it sells itself and we'll grow and we'll have churn and all that kind of stuff. I think I've done, I don't say all of what I can do to optimize that, but we've done a lot of it. And the place to grow, especially with acquiring Seriously Simple Podcasting, is in products. It could be a SaaS type of product on the back of Seriously Simple Podcasting. It could be a premium module, kind of like we talked about last week with Phil. But learning and executing on selling products is my focus for the year. It's my main focus. And, you know, it's learning how to market them. It's kind of helping to create them with a developer and creating some more educational products, because the market is there for all of them. And we just need to go in and capture some of the market. So that's my first goal. And I think it'll be really tough. And it takes a lot of headspace. I've thought a lot about it this week, you know, in some of the quieter time between Christmas and New Year's, and it really, you know, I have like all these post-it notes on a page and like have the whiteboard back home and everything. It's been a lot of fun, but it's definitely a growing experience for me kind of, you know, mentally. So it's been a lot of fun. It'll be interesting to see how I grade myself on this one at the end of the year, because I think this is the kind of skill like you're seeing with Recapture, that if you can nail this skill, then you should be able to be successful doing anything. So pretty excited to see how it goes.
Nice, nice. Well, speaking of revenue goals, I would say that my goal for Recapture at this point is to try to double the MRR by the end of the year.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to make that pretty audacious. And I think that if I get my processes and my audience understanding in place in Q1 and Q2, then I can start to aggressively execute on that in Q3 and Q4. It's not like I won't be doing anything in Q1 and Q2 either, but until I truly have an understanding, it's going to be kind of hit or miss. I might get somebody in out of sheer dumb luck, and I might be marketing to the wrong people for a while until I sort of understand that. I feel like I've got a 6-month window here where it's just going to be me understanding what they want, what they need, what they're asking for, what might expand the product here. And, you know, there's some pricing tweaks that I can do with new features. One of the things that I want to do is I want to expand the existing pricing plans so that if you want these new features, you got to go up in price plan, because there's definitely, you know, a handful of people that are at the bottom. Well, there was a super, super cheap plan that was in there for a while. They threw that away because they realized that was not working well. Yeah, and so then there was a bunch of people at their lowest tier. And of those people that are on there right now, there's a non-trivial number that are looking for some new feature that I'm going to be releasing in Q1. Right now, that's at the next tier up. So I'm going to keep that to force them to upgrade. And then I'm thinking about shifting the what's the top tier right now and push that up higher. So I've got a lot of things that I want to try and things that are probably going to generally move the revenue in a very positive direction. And I think in the end, between that and customer growth, a 2x feels like it's a doable goal. It might even be low. I don't know. I'd like to think that I'm just undershooting completely, but until I really truly understand the platform and what's going on here, I'll just stick with 2x for now.
Yeah. Do you, does 2xing the revenue get you to where you need to be for quitting the consulting?
Sadly, no. Mm-hmm. But it would be, if I were able to 2x it, one of two scenarios are both going to tell me some pretty good things. If it's super, super easy to 2x it and I do it way early, then the good news is that I should have a pretty dialed in growth machine at that point, and I can probably roughly predict when that's going to happen. If it takes me till the end of the year to get to 2x, then if I can see some predictability even towards the end, then I can still probably get a pretty good idea as to when that can happen and then try to figure out if there's other levers that I can pull to improve that growth.
Yeah.
But I'm probably not looking at quitting consulting in 2017 right now based on those numbers.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, I've got some other things that I want to do in 2017 that I'm going to have to pay for. Like, I'm going to hire a Node.js developer because I don't want to do that all the time. I have to start out doing it because I just don't have enough money to spend on them right now. And to top it all off, I really need to understand the platform well enough so that when I do get them on, that I can tell them what it is that they need to do and where they should be doing it. I can't do that at the moment. But in order for me to be able to afford that longer term, I'm definitely going to need higher MRR than I do now. So, yeah.
So the Node developers are on the higher end of the developer pay scale, huh?
You know, I found not having hired them yet and only taken a look on Upwork two times at this point, they seem like they're in the 30 to 80 range. So mm-hmm. they're not totally insane, and you can definitely get them in non-Western countries. So if you wanted to go to like the Ukraine and hire developers over there, totally feasible, totally doable. I was looking primarily in like North America and South America. And I still found a whole bunch of developers down there just because I like the time zone overlap. And a lot of them were still in a very reasonable range, like in the 40-ish. So it's still looking pretty doable. I'm not going to have to spend $100 an hour to get a good Node guy, I don't think.
That's great. That's great. And, yeah. And you don't have a ton of ongoing development work to do, huh?
Not right now. I mean, as soon as I start wanting to add features, I'm going to have a ton of development to do. But at the moment, I've got one feature in the hopper completely done, one feature that's like 80% done with some things that I still have to do to it. So I've got two features I can release in the first two quarters. And then it gives me plenty of time to start figuring things out and then decide what I'm going to do hiring-wise. So they left me in a very good position for that.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
So my next goal is around our travel sites, and it is to, now that that things are relatively stable, is to get them to a revenue point. And I don't have a smart goal for this, but I don't have a specific goal I'm shooting for, but to a point where I would be happy to, I would be happy with the progress or possibly sell them this year. Yeah. So that's where we spent 2016 kind of getting them up to snuff, and now they're looking good and performing better. And now it's time to kind of push the pedal down on them and do something with them to be a meaningful part of our income or to sell them and kind of say, we learned what we learned and we had a good time, but it's time to move on. So, don't know which it will be, but either way, I'll feel good with the effort that we put into them this year. If we get to, kind of double what they're doing now.
Nice, nice. So when you bought those originally, was the original intent to make that part of your income portfolio?
Yeah.
And, did that work out, or did you end up having to sink so much money into them that you weren't really able to count on that as an income for a good portion of the year?
Yeah, so for a pretty fair portion of this year, they were making a little bit of money net, but not anything like we hoped for. Yeah, unfortunately, which is, again, like the lesson is, if you're going to buy something, make sure you understand what the real profit of it will be in your hands, not just what the other people did before. And I think you saw this, Dave, with some of the things you were looking at, is if someone puts something on autopilot and it's still making decent profit, it doesn't mean that it will do the same in your hands with all the things you want to do with it. So I think that, looking at growing something involves either time or money, and you have to consider that with, the kind of cash flow situation that you're looking at.
Definitely, definitely. All right, so my next goal here is to integrate myself into the Magento community a little bit and try to make some connections, do some networking, try to promote Recapture, try to make some connections with other people, because this is a community that until recently, you know, I have almost no contacts in it whatsoever, no knowledge about it, you know, no background in e-commerce or anything like that. So the one thing that I'm trying to do right now in Q2 is to go to what is the biggest conference for Magento. It's called Magento Imagine. It's in Vegas. And try to make some connections out there. Talk to some store owners, talk to Magento agencies. There was even an idea that I might do a talk with the previous founders of Recapture and see if that works. That may not pan out because we found that the deadline for talk submissions has actually passed, so that may not be workable. But they did point us to some other local events, more localish, called Meet Magento, where they sort of have like – it's the equivalent of roughly a WordCamp. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with those, right? Yeah, so they've got those like all over the United States and Europe. And so I think I might try to do some of those kind of events, just lower key networking, try to understand the community better and make some connections in there since I don't really have anybody to lean on right now. So,
yeah, that's huge. I mean, I think being part of a community is you've seen it pay off really big with the WordPress community, I think. And so that's very smart with getting into Magento. So my next two are kind of soft goals, I guess. So the first one is I would like to take and pass a French fluency exam. So we are studying a lot. We have a tutor in France, and both Amanda and I are getting a lot better at learning French. But the reality is our kids will be fluent by the end of the school year. They already speak better French than we do, and so if we're it's funny, but it's not. I mean, my daughter's in the equivalent of kindergarten, and we can't help her do her homework. So just because of the language. So this is a real thing. I mean, I think of, you know, if our kids were in fifth grade or something, we'd try to do this, and they're learning, you know, sort of like algebra or something. It would be really hard. So we're a little lucky, Amanda and I are a little lucky that we're coming in when our daughter's in kindergarten and our son is four, that they're not really learning anything too complex. But if we don't learn our French now, and we stay in France for several years, it will be a real problem. So, it's a big, in terms of my personal goals, this is the number one, is really get good at speaking and reading and writing French.
Nice, nice. You just sort of like drove something home for me for a second. How the hell would you be able to have your daughter or your son come to you and with their paper? Because like my oldest daughter does this all the time when she does a major project. She hands it all to me and wants me to look it over. And of course, I'll go and help correct her English grammar after she's used some various tools to make sure that the spelling and the grammar pass some basic muster. And then I check to make sure it all sounds good together and the topics flow and all of that. But how the hell can you do that if you don't speak the damn language they're writing it in?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that would be so hard. So yeah, kudos to you for doing that one. That's a tough and awesome goal. I think maybe we could do an entire episode in French. You speak in French, I'll speak in Spanish, and we'll both just confuse the hell out of everybody.
We Yeah, no, it's the gap between being able to go into a store and fumble your way through ordering a sandwich and being able to communicate with people on a real meaningful basis is huge. So yeah, you know, we're at the being able to go around and order things and get around town, but you could never have a real conversation with somebody. I couldn't right now. So
yeah. Yep. Makes sense.
Yep.
Makes sense. So I'm looking through all of my stuff on here. I've kind of covered most of my goals for you know, for next year on recapture. But I guess on a personal level, so we just found out that my youngest daughter has ADHD. And so, you know, we kind of knew that my middle daughter had that a little bit. She also has dyslexia. And, you know, we've had to spend a lot of time trying to understand strategies to help her get better at reading things that were, you know, resources online that are specific towards dyslexia. And my wife just came to me last night and said, you know, we've really got to get better at being the parents of an ADHD kid, because we're not going to do things like we're not going to medicate them. She's very opposed to the medication. And our neighbor next door has some stories about their youngest daughter who went through and did the medication, and she made it all the way through college. But she really struggled because the medication would allow her to concentrate, but she hated the way it made her feel. Like her body and her mind were felt constantly, I don't know. She tried to describe it to me, and it was a sensation that I couldn't really sort of pick up on. But I guess it was kind of like the equivalent would be for somebody who's not been on this medication is like a caffeine high that you can't come out of. And if you knew that you came out of it, you wouldn't be able to think the way that you do. But at the same time, you're just kind of constantly freaking out. But at the same time, you're able to stay focused. So like, it's this emotional, intellectual balance that she's trying to strike. So she can stay intellectually focused, but then she's emotionally a wreck. But then she goes off of it, she's emotionally fine, but then intellectually unable to concentrate. So it's like an either-or hell situation for her. So given that that's the case, my wife is like, we've got to do something as a better strategy to deal with our kids, because they have trouble staying on task and staying focused. And it's like, you know, I used to joke that a three-year-old playing soccer was like they go and run after the ball and then they're like, ooh, butterflies, you know. But that's my seven-year-old now, and she's still doing it. And you know, it just happens with everything, whether it's setting the table or working on her homework or playing with her sister or being asked to do a chore in the house. It doesn't really matter. So I think my goal is to be a better parent around that, cultivate more patience, try to figure out strategies to cope, to help her cope with that, so that she doesn't have to resort to medication. Because as she gets older, you know, a lot of times they say that you grow out of this as you're moving up in age, but it never totally goes away. But if you have those strategies and you're not necessarily, you know, chemically trying to get rid of them, if those strategies are pretty strong by the time you're an adult, I feel like that's going to help them in the long run better than giving them chemicals, where they ended up in the state that my neighbor ended up in.
Sure.
So that's my goal here.
Yeah. It's good that you have some experience with your younger or your older, you know, kid going through that, so you know a bit of what to expect, right?
Yeah, but each kid's a little bit different, you know. Every one of them has a different strength and a different weakness. And, you know, when I first started as a parent, I thought, you know, they're all just going to be a bunch of clones. Once we figure out one, we've got them all figured out. That's a bunch of crap. That's so not even close to reality. Every one of them, you have to employ something different. And when you think you've got it figured out, the chances are you just don't know shit.
Yeah.
You've got to figure something else out. So – yeah.
Yeah, ours can't be more different. I mean, they're you know, boy and a girl, and they're just we say we have like a daisy and a boulder. You know, it's like one is just so right now, you know, wonderful and kind and everything, and one is just, I mean, he's a boy, right? It's just so different. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yep. So my last one is also a personal goal, and it is very smart. I want to be able to take 2 weeks off without any work and not have it have a negative impact on our business. So right now I could not do that. I've taken 4 or 5 days off before and it was okay. Definitely some things that slipped through the cracks, but with moving to either a more finely tuned service business with processes and responsibilities for everyone in every part of the business, and also moving to more of a product focused business that shouldn't require a lot of my direct input on a recurring basis, I hope to be able to take 2 weeks off. I would love to be able to do it over the summer. We're talking about going to Scotland in the summer for 2 weeks, and not work at all. So it's tough for a lot of us to do. I've never done it. So that'll be an interesting one to see how that, a year from now, how I grade myself on that one.
Yeah, now that's a super cool goal. I like that one a lot. I'm not even going to put that one out there for me because I just know that's not going to happen in the next year, especially not with the plugins. As long as I've got those, that's definitely not going to happen. And even if I were to completely get rid of the plugins for some reason, I would still have to check in periodically for support, even though the support is super, super low maintenance for recapture at this point. But my guess is as I grow that, that's going to be different as well. So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to see how that one pans out next year as well.
Yep. Cool. And would love to hear how everyone is setting their goals and graded themselves on the previous year. And if you have anything that you'd like to add to the discussion from this episode, so drop a comment in the post for this episode. So roguestartups.com/episode76. Or hit us up on Twitter at Rogue Startups. And everybody, Happy New Year's, and we'll see you on the other side.
Happy New Year.
And that's our episode for this week. If you have any questions or comments, please let us know at podcast@roguestartups.com. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Rogue Startups. And be sure to visit roguestartups.com for full show notes on each episode. If you're enjoying the show, we'd sure appreciate a review in iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.